This morning, if you'll turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to kind of go over a little bit of what we covered Wednesday evening, and then expand on it, and kind of I've just been thinking of different things, after our revival and things to look for and the Sunday school lesson and of course dealt with this a little bit on Wednesday as well, is walking in the Spirit. Again, that is a phrase that we use. It's in the Bible, but it is a phrase that we use and we talk about, and we talk about being Spirit led, walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. And a lot of times we use those phrases, but then we walk around and kind of scratch our head and say, okay, what does that mean? What does that look like? Walking in the Spirit. And I want to kind of show you some of that this morning, hear from God's Word. And we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to go ahead and open us up in prayer, and then we'll go from there. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer. We thank you so much, Lord, for the day that you've given us. Father, we thank you for those who have come to join us. Lord, we thank you for those who are still traveling to get here. And Lord, we pray that you'd be with those who are traveling, Lord, that you would just keep them safe and bring them back to us. And Father, we pray that your will would be done in their lives. And now, Father, we pray that you'd bless this time of Sunday school. And Lord, we pray that you'd be with those that are homesick. And Lord, we pray that you just touch their bodies and their lives. And we'll love and thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. I'd like to start off in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 1. And then we're going to kind of jump around here in Ephesians chapter 5. But it starts off in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 1. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled with the yoke of bondage." Now, I wanted to start there this morning because as we talk about walking in the Spirit, and we talk about being led by the Spirit, one of the first things that we need to know and understand that what salvation does for us. It does way more than just give us a home in heaven. It gives us the ability. It gives us, as the scripture verse here tells us, it gives us freedom. It gives us liberty. It gives us ability. And also, and most importantly, it gives us the Holy Spirit of God. That praise the Lord upon our salvation, the Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell within our lives. And here in Galatians, Paul starts off by challenging the people to stand fast in the liberty, it says, wherein Christ hath made us free. And again, I talked about this Wednesday, many people, they talk about when they talk about Christians, and they talk about, well, Christians can't do this and Christians can't do that and Christians can't go here and Christians can't go there. Honestly, any of the places that I went before I got saved, I don't miss them. And really, to be honest with you, each in some of those things and some of those activities that I participated in and some of those things I done, I'll be honest with you, yes, for a very short period of time, it offered some pleasure, but it always wound up the same. It always wound up putting me in bondage, making my life miserable, and without exception. And this is what the Word of God here is talking about. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ hath made us free." When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we are free. We're free from the bondage of sin. And now what he's encouraging people here and what he's encouraging the Galatians, he said, he goes on to say, "But be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." You know what's really sad is when Christians, after they've been freed from the bondage of sin, again take on the yoke of sin and the bondage thereof. And so he's encouraging Christians to stand fast in the liberty that God has given us, and don't take on the bondage. Now, as we talk about walking in the Spirit, in Galatians chapter 5, if you read through it and look at it very closely, it's talking about relationships. It's talking about relationships with one another. It's talking about relationships with the Lord Jesus Christ. But down towards the end of the chapter, he gets into talking about the Spirit, and we're going to jump down to verse number 16. We'll back up to verse number 15, just kind of show you how it ends there as far as relationship. It says in verse number 15, "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye do not consume one of another." And he's talking about here, if you're going to fuss, fight, and feud, be careful that you don't get devoured or you don't consume one another. You know, there are times that as brothers and sisters in Christ, just like a family, we get a little put out with each other. We get a little bit aggravated with each other. And sometimes we even get a little bit angry with each other. But he encourages us here to make sure that we don't get consumed. Because when we get consumed with the faults of our brothers and sisters in Christ, it puts us in the bondage of sin. Because having aught with a brother, And letting that fester, letting that carry on, it winds you up into bondage. It winds you up into sin. And these things need to be dealt with. And then he goes on in verse number 16, and he begins to talk about walking in the Spirit. In verse number 16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Notice that's capitalized. "And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You want to know how to avoid being consumed with one another and devouring and biting and carrying on and fussing and fighting between each other's and brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, look at verse number 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Capital letter. That is speaking of the Holy Spirit of God. That is speaking of the person of the Holy Spirit, not the Spirit of within. Like we talk about, you know, we might say, well, that guy is well-spirited. And what we're talking about is, you know, his demeanor. It's not here in this verse, it's not talking about that. It is talking about the actual person of the Holy Spirit. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." And when we do that, it says, "And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So what is that telling us? All right, what that is telling us is we can't do both. We can't do both. It says, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You know what happens when we fulfill the lust of the flesh? We're not walking in the Spirit. And then it goes on in verse number, as it goes on in verse number 17, it says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit." Again, we see the capital letter there, Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." You know, when we're walking in the flesh, and that's what he was talking about in verse number 1, being in bondage, when we're walking in the flesh, we're actually tying ourselves up, holding ourselves back, and that's what prevents us from doing what God wants to do in our life. The sad part of that is we don't have to be in the bondage of sin. We don't have to be under that disappointment and all of that, because God has given us the Spirit of God, the person of the Spirit of God, which lives within us, which gives us the ability, the power, the strength to overcome the flesh. You know, and again, I've said this before, and I'm just like you. I struggle with sin every day, and unfortunately, that's a shame because I shouldn't have to. And when I'm struggling in sin, what has happened is I have stepped out of walking in the Spirit, because you can't do both. You can't be living in sin and harboring sin in your life and walking in the Spirit at the same time, because as the Bible says, they're contrary, one to another. And then verse number 18, it says, "But if ye be led of the Spirit," and again, notice capital letter, "ye shall not," ye are not under the law. Okay, now it makes a great division here, and understanding what it's saying there, "but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." And because the Spirit of God will lead you, the Spirit of God will guide you, you're not bound to the law. And then it goes on to tell us here, and it helps us understand the difference between the flesh and the Spirit. Verse number 19. "But the work of the flesh are manifested, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness," I have a hard time pronouncing that. And you say, well, you know, praise the Lord, I'm not involved in any of those. And again, those are dealing with sexual sins, adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, and lasciviousness. These are sins that are sexual sins. And you say, well, you know, I'm not involved in any of those. Praise the Lord for that. Well, I hope that's true in your life. But if you're not careful, you can be. And anyone in this room that thinks that they can't be, watch out. You're in trouble. And again, how do we avoid them? The Bible says, if we're led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. If we're walking with the Spirit, we can avoid these things. And then it goes on to say, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, there we are. Heresies. Now, this is probably a little bit more where sometimes we might have a little bit of dwelling. When we allow the flesh, when we disregard the Spirit of God, and we're not walking in the Spirit of God, these are some sins that we can that a lot of times we'll begin to open up ourselves to. Idolatry. Idolatry is anything that you put before God. Anything in your life. Idolatry is replacing God. And then it talks about witchcraft. And then it talks about hatred, and again, wrath and strife and heresies. If we won't walk in the Spirit, these are areas in our life that become commonplace. And again, the Bible, when it talks about these things are the things that bind us. These things are and if these things are prevalent in your life, you're not walking in the Spirit. And then it goes on in verse number 21, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelings and such like, of that which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, I've mentioned this several times in our church. I believe today there's a great turning away. Now, that doesn't mean it's lost people that have turned away from God, which it doesn't mean, I'm not talking about saved people that have turned away from God. I'm talking about even lost religious people who have turned away from God. And when we allow these things to be in our life, and I've said this before, there are people who possess, or there's people who profess to be saved, but they're not possessors. You say, well, what does that mean? They're not saved. Because the Bible's very clear. In the end here, it says, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we're not talking about a work salvation here, but what we're talking about is being able to identify in our lives whether we're truly born again or not. If the things that we have just gone over are the important, most prevalent things in your life, and that's what you're consumed with, and that's what you think about, and that's what you participate in, and that's where your life is, well, I would be very careful and check and find out, are you born again? Do you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you? Because then it goes on to tell us here in verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, capital letter, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You say, well, what does that mean, against such there is no law? When we're walking in the Spirit, these things become natural to us. It becomes something that we don't need a law to say, thou shalt love thy neighbor. Because when we're walking in the Spirit, we do love God. We do want to please God. We do want to love our neighbors. There's just certain things that we do, and the law is not necessary, because we do them because we are walking in the Spirit of God. Because what our desire is to please the Lord Jesus Christ and to please God. It goes on to tell us here in verse number 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and lust. They that are Christ, those of us who are saved, those of us who are born again, those of us who have truly trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, what we have done is we have crucified the flesh. We have repented. We have turned from who we were, and we're going a different direction. And then it says, with the afflictions and the lust. Verse number 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, as the Word of God tells us here, if we live in the Spirit, all right? And again, I illustrated this on Wednesday. Living in the Spirit, what does that mean? Most of us, or a lot of times, what people do is they're moving and they're waiting for the Spirit to catch up. Come on, Spirit. Come on, Spirit. Come on. You know, keep up with me, God. Keep up with me, God. Someone who is walking in the Spirit is walking with God, walking with the Spirit, and in a sense behind the Spirit, and allowing the Spirit to guide them and direct them. And so what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What we've been looking at here this morning, first of all, we need to recognize the Spirit's presence and abiding in us. So this morning, Can you recognize the Spirit of God in your life? You say, well, you know, preacher, you read over some of these things that that the flesh does, and there might be one or two of those in my life. Okay, I understand that, but is it something you're in love with that you're not willing or trying to repent or get rid of? Is it what controls your life? And recognizing the Spirit, the presence in her life. You know, I won't lead you to believe that I am a perfect Christian, that I never do anything wrong, because I would be lying. But I do my best some days to walk in the Spirit, to do the things that please God. And again, what it all boils down to is I have a desire in my heart, although, and that's that war between the flesh and the Spirit, although sometimes I don't succeed, also though sometimes I don't make it, I truly and honestly have the desire in my heart to please the Spirit of God that is within my life. I have a desire to do the will of God and the things of God. Do I always hit the mark? No, I don't. But I truly and can honestly say, I want it, I work at it, and I try. You know, there's people that profess to be saved, and the things of God is the very last thing on their mind and in their life. Everything else and anything else is more important than the things of the Lord. And I would say that that person really needs to take a close look and examine their life to find out if the presence of the Spirit is even in your life. Religious, we have a lot of religious moral people. But being religious and moral does not mean that you're born again and saved. Now, first of all, we need to recognize walking in the Spirit is recognizing the Spirit in His presence. It also means that we need to trust the Spirit of God. We need to count on Him. Trust Him and count on Him. Going to Him. And again, when things might... We may not understand everything God is doing. What we need to do is we need to trust in the Spirit of God that He knows best. And we need to, and especially this doubt a lot of times comes in the sight of emergencies. You know, when those things come up that are out of our control. What we need to do is we need to trust God. We may not understand why God allowed that in our life at the moment, but what we need to do is we need to trust Him and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to stay true. I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to count upon You, even though I don't understand why, but I'm going to stay faithful. Then walking in the Spirit is we must consult the Holy Spirit of God in all our ways. Again, that illustration. Many times we're moving on along and we're saying, come on, Spirit of God, catch up with me, catch up with me. I've got these plans. I'm going this direction. Come on board with me. No, that's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong way. Don't expect the Holy Spirit of God to catch up with you. You need to catch up with the Holy Spirit of God and go His will and go His direction. Some things that we'll look at here in this lesson. Some of the blessings of us walking in the Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit of God, it will secure us a complete and delightful deliverance from sin. You want to get away from sin? You want to get away from that sin in your life that just keeps coming up over and over and over and over and over and over again? You all know what I'm talking about. That sin that the Holy Spirit's telling you, this is the one I'm talking about. You want to get security over that. You want to get that further away from your life than it's ever been before. Well, you need to be walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit and going and doing things that God wants us to do will help you do that. In verse number 16 of Galatians chapter 5, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." The key to getting security in your life and not falling into lustful sin is to walk in the Spirit. And then the other thing that the Spirit will do for us, such a walk will give delightful sincerity, tranquility, steadfastness to the whole life. We will not be able, we will not be at the bidding of impulse and circumstances. You know why, you know, some people say, well, I can't help it. I just fell into sin. Well, first of all, that's a false statement. You can help it. And the reason you fell into it is because you've been hovering around it. You've been looking at it and feasting over it and desiring it. Again, temptation is not sin. Acting on the temptation is sin. We'll use this illustration because it's probably especially for us fellows, the most common. An inappropriate dressed woman who walks by in front of you, and it's there and you can't unsee, and that's really sad, and that is horrible sin on a woman's part. But when it becomes sin is when they walk past and we give it a second look, or we follow it, or we allow it to maintain in our life. That's when it becomes sin. And if we're not careful, that can develop into many things. It can develop into, as the Bible says, it can develop into adultery. It can develop into fornication. So how do you keep that? How do you keep that out of your life? You walk in the Spirit, and the Bible says, "Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And when we walk in the Spirit, it gives us a delightful serenity and tranquility and steadfastness to our whole life. You know why we look at some people and they just seem to never have a down moment? They're always happy, always bubbly. Especially a dear saint in the Lord. And even in the midst of struggles and problems and trials, it just seems they're okay with it. And we kind of look at them and say, well, how can you be okay with what you're going through? Walking in the Spirit will give you that when it's needed. This past week, we at the hospital, when my dad went in to get the artery in his neck cleared out, we all went in. We said our goodbyes in case it didn't turn out the way we were praying for it to turn out. And yes, the thought of losing Dad was kind of saddening. But we went out to the waiting room, and as we were all sitting in the waiting room, we laughed, we told jokes, we enjoyed each other's fellowship. My brothers and sisters were there. And we had peace and tranquility in our life. It's not that we knew that my dad was going to pull through and everything was going to be fine as far as the surgery, but we knew that no matter what, God was in control and it would be okay. It would be okay. And even if the Lord chose to take him home, that still would have been okay as well. Yeah, there may have been a little bit of sorrow, but again, what I'm talking about is that peace that that there were other people in the waiting room. They didn't have that. You could see the worry on their face. You could see their tears that they were shedding. Because there wasn't peace in their life. There wasn't tranquility in their life. Walking in the Spirit will give you peace. It'll give you tranquility for your whole life in the midst of trouble, in whatever circumstances that you might find yourself in. You know, again, Brother Randy and I, we were talking about, before service, about all this COVID stuff and all that's going on. Do I get aggravated about some of all the garbage and junk that's going on and all the politicizing of all of this? Yeah, I get aggravated, but you know what? I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it because I know who's in control. Some people say, well, I wish Biden had never got into office. Well, I wish that too, but I know who put him there, and it wasn't the Democrats. And it wasn't cheating on the election, although that may have helped, but who put him there was God. Because God puts people in charge and removes people. You say, well, I don't know that I believe God did that. Well, I believe God did, because God wanted to get our attention. God wanted to get our attention. And God knew that he had to put a man in the White House that would attack the Christian's wallet and get their attention. And that's exactly what happened. I said this a couple weeks ago. What's really sad, we as Christians didn't get all fired up over prayer being taken out of school. Oh, we got a little heated up, but we got over it quickly. We didn't get all that bothered. We got a little bit heated up, but we got over it quickly when the Ten Commandments was taken out of the school and taken out of Washington, and we didn't even really get all that up-riled. Maybe a year or two when abortion was put in, but we just kind of got used to it and we went on. But boy, I'll tell you what, we got some Christians sitting up and taking notice now that their wallet has taken a hit. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And you know what is really sad? Is it took God attacking Christians' wallets to get their attention. But nevertheless, he did it. But again, am I worried about it? No. God will take care of me. I've never gone hungry. I've never slept outside unwillingly. And I've always had a place to stay. I've always had a roof over my head. I've always had shoes on my feet. And I've had plenty to eat and more than I should have. So God's taking care of me. And when we walk in the Spirit, circumstances, things that go around us, it won't affect us. It won't affect our service to the Lord. It won't affect our movement for God. We'll keep right on going no matter what. And then walking in the Spirit of God, such a walk will enable us to meet the providence of God as they come to us in victory. As we already mentioned, God's in control. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly what's going to go on. And he has it all planned out. I thank the Lord as a Christian. I can claim Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And what gives me that peace is my walk in the Spirit. Because it doesn't matter what's going on around me, or even how what's going on around me affects me, I know that God's in control. And I know that he's made me a promise. He said, all things work together for good. Now, obviously, he's talking about those bad things. And he said it's going to work out for good if I love him and if I walk according to his purpose. You see, when I got saved, I was bought with a price. I was bought by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the Word of God says, I'm not my own. I was once a child of the devil. I am now the child of God. And being the child of God, I would hope that some of the fruit of the Spirit that dwells within me might bubble out occasionally, might be predominant in my life. Even though I may not have it all down pat, even though it may not be the foremost thing on my life every day, but it's there, and it is a part of my life. And so I want to encourage you, as we talk about walking in the Spirit, I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, walk in the Spirit. Allow God to direct you, even when it doesn't make sense. Even when circumstances that you look around, you think, well, you know, if I feel the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God has backed it up with the Word of God, you know, and I know I should go this direction, but it just doesn't appear right. Don't go on appearances. Go on what the Word of God confirms and what the Spirit of God within your life confirms. Now you say, well, now wait a minute. If I do that, it's going to cause me to do something wrong. Watch out. Be careful. You see, the Bible says that the devil presents himself as an angel of light. You say, well, now, preacher, you're really confusing me. How in the world am I going to know? The Spirit of God will never lead you to do anything contrary to the Word of God. The Spirit of God will never lead you to do anything contrary to God's will and God's direction in your life. And the Spirit of God will not lead you to sin. You say, well, now, wait a minute. If I don't tell this little white lie, man, it's really going to mess up my life. You know what's really going to mess up your life? Telling the little white lie. It'd be better to suffer your lumps, and it would be better not to get yourself into a position where you have to tell a little white lie. You know, most of the time when we have to tell little white lies, it's because we put ourselves in a position of where we shouldn't have been in the first place and doing something that we shouldn't have done. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to lessen the consequences for what we have done. And the Holy Spirit of God will never lead you to do anything contrary to the Word of God. Just remember that. Because the devil, he's sneaky, he's slippery, he's sly, and he's going to come up to you and he's going to say, well, you know, if you don't do this, this, and this, you're going to make God look awfully bad. Let God worry about how he looks. You just do what you know you're supposed to do, and it'll come up. You see, and that's what walking in the Spirit is. That's that when we're talking about walking in the Spirit, when we're talking about being filled with the Spirit, when we're talking about letting the Spirit guide our lives, that's what we're talking about. And allow the Spirit of God to do that for you. And I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll get back here in about 20 minutes. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the morning that you've given us. Lord, I pray that you would bless our next hour. Lord, I thank you for those who have tuned in as far as Sunday school. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage them to tune back in about 20 minutes. And Father, I pray that your will would be done in our church. And I pray, Lord, that your guidance and direction will prevail in our lives. And we'll love and thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.